Scripture. And we're going to, the whole theme this morning, it's going to be a little different. My sermon's going to be a little different this morning. It's all about getting excited about Jesus. I just want to encourage everybody in our worship this morning, at the communion table, everything, we have so much to be joyful for. We have so much to get excited for. Listen to the Word of God this morning, and let's get excited as a church family.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading from Psalm 95, verse 1 through 3. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
Thank you, Reese, for reading the scripture to us this morning. If you would like to, please stand. Or you could remain seated. We're small in number, but I'm going to need your help. So I want to hear some singing this morning. You're worthy of my praise.
All of my strength, I will see. never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
You have been so, so good.
This morning, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table together as a family, I just want to take us right back to the night that Jesus shared the Passover dinner with his disciples. And this is where he instituted the Lord's Supper. And it was a time that he wanted his people to just remember him, remember what he's done, remember what he was going to do, and remember what he's promised to do in the future, which is to bring us home and to be with him forever. But I want to take us back to Matthew chapter 26. You've heard this many, many times, but what a great reminder and what great instruction from Jesus. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." What a promise from Jesus. As you eat and drink this morning, as we come to the Lord's table together this morning, and as you eat and you drink with the Lord, do so with the awareness that Jesus is still today, in this moment, an absolute sufficient Savior for all of our sins. And he offers to us grace to help in any situation that we're against. No matter where you've been in life this past week, or where life is going to take you this coming week, we still today have the exact same Jesus that we had yesterday, who is sufficient, all-powerful enough to cover your sin because of what he did on the cross. And he's certainly sufficient in keeping his promise of someday drinking and eating this meal together, new with us in his Father's kingdom. So as we take in these physical objects of bread and juice, may God give us a powerful taste of the forgiveness and fullness of Jesus for us. This Lord's Supper, it's absolutely an invitation, not for those who've got everything under control, not for those who are just considered good people. This supper is an invitation for sinful and weak Christians who are still in need of Christ's grace each and every day. Jesus invites us all to come to them this morning, to come to his Lord's Supper. All who are thirsty, Jesus says, come. All who are weak and are wounded, Jesus says, come. All who are aware of their sin and are in need of grace, Jesus says, come. I want to encourage all of us that as you eat the bread, remember and find hope in the fact that Christ's body was crushed so that you might receive no punishment because of grace. And as you drink the juice, remember and rejoice. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about, rejoicing and excitement today. As you drink the juice, remember and rejoice that Jesus' blood paid for our unrighteousness, and it purchased our redemption forever. That is something worth praising our Savior for this morning. Let's bow our heads and go to the throne of God this morning. Father God, we come before your throne. We come to your table this morning with much thanksgiving and excitement, Father, for who you are, absolutely complete in yourself, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient. Through your love and through your grace, you looked at a fallen world. You looked at a fallen people that you created and loved us anyway, offered a way back to you, offered salvation in your Son, Jesus. Father, we come to your table this morning and celebrate that. Father, we tell you thank you. We give you all thanks this morning as we eat the bread, as we drink the juice this morning. Father, search our hearts. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts wide to what it is you are doing in our lives, what it is you would have us do in the coming week with our salvation and with you. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ as we are reminded with this cup. His blood that was shed, that was sufficient to not just cover our sin, but to remove our sin forever. That we may stand before you today, holy and blameless and pure because of our precious Jesus. Lord, I ask right now that as we take this bread, we take this juice, that you will bless both. Father, may they remind us all week long until we are back together next week of our loving Savior's Jesus' care, the care he showed and provided on the cross, and the power that he revealed when he walked out of the tomb on his own. Father, remind us daily as we drink this juice that it would be a reminder all week long of our precious Jesus' blood that sealed the promise that you made on Calvary. The promise of everlasting life for those who call on your name, the name of Jesus. That we too may drink and eat together with you again when we are fully with Jesus in his kingdom. Father, to you be all glory and honor forever and ever. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
and leave a trail of galaxies and dream of me. What kind of love is writing my story till the end with mercy's pen? Only you. What kind of king would choose to wear a crown that bleeds and scars to win my heart? What kind of love tells me I'm the reason he can't stay inside the grave? You. Is it you, standing here before my eyes? Every part of my heart cries, alive, alive. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love has won. Alive, alive. One name. What other heart would let itself be broken every time till he healed mine? You, only you, could turn my darkness into dawn, running right into your arms. Alive, alive. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love has won. Alive, alive. Hallelujah, risen Lord. Only one I've had before. I am His because He. Baby who made angels sing, Son of Man who walked with us, healing, breathing in our dust, the author of all history, the answer to all mysteries, the Lamb of God who rolled away the stone in front of every
Nobody on planet Earth should be more alive than the Christ follower who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and has the assurance of salvation from the grave forever. And like I said this morning, my sermon's going to be a little different this morning. I'm going to let God, I'm going to get out of the way completely and allow God to do most of the talking this morning. We're going to read a lot of scripture. And we get excited about so many different things here on Plant. Just this past week, I got excited by a lot of different things. I got excited because I weighed myself this morning, and I'm down 3 pounds this past week on my weight loss journey, and that's exciting. I get excited because my son, Jaden, put a dish in the dishwasher all by himself this week without being asked. I got excited about that. That was something to get excited about in our house. I got excited because we got to go camping this weekend and enjoy time with family and friends this weekend. We get excited by a lot of different things, but a lot of those things are temporary. Because tomorrow, I guarantee you, Jaden will not put his dish in the dishwasher, and he'll need to be reminded. There's going to be weeks where I don't lose 3 pounds in 1 week. There's going to be weeks where I don't get to go and have fun with friends and family and enjoy. So that excitement dissipates. Let me tell you, throughout the New Testament, by Jesus himself and through the apostles, we have been told that we have been given a gift by God that is worthy of our excitement, worthy of our amazement. And Jesus, every time he encountered one of his beloved, and when he did something for them or with them or trained them, what did he tell them to go do? Get excited and share it. Go tell your friends. Go tell your family. Go tell the world what I've done for you this morning. So this morning, that's what I wanted. That's the message I want to give us today. You have so much reason to be excited today. There is no reason, nothing on planet Earth that should allow you to walk in this place today with your head held low, with your heart in distress. And I know life happens. I know life circumstances happen that bring us down. But you have been given something by God that despite anything that life here on earth throws at you, you can get excited about. And you can have joy in your heart about. So this morning I want to just give a couple things. I want to start out this morning by just talking about reasons that we as Christ followers have to get excited out in the world. To walk into a store, to walk into a workplace, to walk into a family reunion, to walk into wherever situation you're walking into, and you're going to be excited. And that excitement's going to get contagious. And people are going to be amazed at what Jesus Christ has done in your life, is doing in your life today, and what you are hoping, have put all of your hope into, knowing full well that he has kept his promises and will continue to keep his promises. You are excited about what he's going to do for you in the future. I want to start out this morning talking about God being our helper. If we have no other reason to be excited about Jesus Christ this morning, God is our absolute helper. I love the words of Psalms 118. If you never, not 118, 18. Psalms 18. Read Psalms 18 over and over again this week. What beautiful, poetic, almost romantic words that are used to describe our perfect God. And not just rescuing us, but helping us in all life situations. Hear these words and just kind of picture your God as described in Psalms 18, verse 6, starting in verse 6. He says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord. At the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. Wow. God is our helper in rescuing us more times than not from ourselves and from our own sin. And our own guilt. The same God who is being described here in Psalms several thousand years ago is the same God that when he moves today on behalf of you, the earth quakes, thunders roar at his mere presence. The enemy has no choice but to flee in the presence of Jesus. We have something to get excited about. In your daily living, when you go to work, you come home, whether you're tired, whether you're full of energy, you're excited, you're not so excited, whatever. Jesus has proclaimed, I am your help. I am your everlasting help. You need help being a dad, I'll help you be a dad. You need help to be a husband and help be a wife, I will be there to help you be who I've called you to be. You need help just being a child of God, I will help you be a child of God. It's why he came here to earth, not just to die on the cross. That was the greatest gift he gave us. He came to earth to show us and lead us into how to be a child of God, how to live as a child of God, how to live with excitement for why you were created and who you were created for. And when we ask God to move on our behalf, to help in times where we need help or rescued from ourselves most of the time in our decision making, I love it. The Lord thunders from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounds. And the valleys of the sea are exposed and the foundations of the earth are laid bare at your rebuke, Lord. When we call on his name, these things happen because they have to happen when he causes them to happen. When he tells nature to move, it moves. When he tells the enemy to flee, he has to flee. When he tells the body to heal, it has to heal. When he tells sin, you are no more because of the blood of Jesus, your sin is no more. When he says, guilt be gone, your guilt is gone forever. There's much to be excited about there, folks. If you need reason to worship him today, to praise him, to be excited about going to work tomorrow, know that the Holy Spirit goes before you into work, and he will help you with whatever tasks need to be done so that his name will be glorified. People will know that you are a Christ follower because of how you handle yourself at the workplace, at the grocery store, in the community serving, in the ball field coaching, wherever it is you are. You have an everlasting helper in the name of Jesus, because he left you the great helper, the Spirit of God. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you were baptized in his baptism, you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit to be your helper all the way in to your everlasting kingdom, God's kingdom forever. Reason number one to get excited today is God is your helper. Reason number two is found many times in the New Testament, but I think one of the greatest is John chapter 15. It's a reminder that God is our friend. God is a lot of things. He's the great I am, and I am, and fill in the blanks with thousands of things. But one of those blanks is God says, I am your friend. I am your creator. I am your disciplinarian. I am your savior. I am this provider. I am this, I am that. But Jesus says, he comes along and says, I am your friend. Those are huge words. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, I will give you. This is my command. Love each other. The Creator of all things, the creator of you, who could do anything he wanted to with you. Because of your sin, he could have sentenced you to death forever. He chooses to call you friend. When you've disappointed him, when you've rebelled against him, when you have relied on your own to provide for yourself and forgot about him, he still chooses to call you friend. When you've taken advantage of him, when you've stolen from him, when you've done evil in his sight, he calls you friend. That is amazing. How many times have we dropped friends because of what they've done to us or against us? How many times have we lost friends because of what we accidentally did, or because of a misunderstanding, or a this, or a that? Jesus says, to those who belong to me, I call you friend. You are no longer a slave or a servant. We don't have that relationship anymore. You are co-heirs with me in the kingdom of God. He has placed you above the angels themselves. That is something to get excited about, that you have a friend in Jesus. You can be in a room full of people and feel lonely if you don't have Jesus. The amazing thing about Jesus is, no matter where you are, he's there. And he says, I'm going to be your friend. You're going to mess up. That's okay. We're still friends. And nobody is a better friend than the one who gives his life for his friend. He didn't say, I gave my life for a sinner. He didn't say, I gave my life for a scumbag. He didn't say, I gave my life for an inmate. He said, I laid down my life for my friends. That's amazing. Don't ever think that you are anything less in the eyes of Jesus than his friend. No matter how far you've gotten away, he is there to be. I think he gets more excited than we do about our friendship. We have so much to be excited about. God is not only our helper, but he chooses to call us friend. to have that kind of a relationship with one another. Do you know how big that is? That the King of the universe, the King of all things, chooses to bring you up to his level and call you friend. And the third reason I want to give you to get excited, if those two don't get you excited enough, God not only is our helper, not only is our friend, we know, we come every morning, every Sunday to celebrate it together. He is our Savior, Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever wake up one morning and forget. You are alive and well today because of your Savior, Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 15. God says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul, writing to young Timothy, acknowledges nobody on earth is a worse sinner than me. I was a killer, a brutal killer of Christians, Christ followers. Me, Paul, the worst of worst sinners, am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If Jesus can save me, that's what he's telling young Timothy, that's what he's telling us today. If Jesus' blood is strong enough to save me, he's strong enough to save you. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've cried out to his name for forgiveness and for grace and an everlasting hope and salvation in him, you have something that the rest of the world does not have and needs desperately. You walk around in a fallen, dark world with something to be excited about. We are living in days today that seem very dark, very dim. The hope for tomorrow is pretty gloomy, but not for Jesus' followers. You have something to wake up for every morning to be excited about. And I know things can get scary. I know things, the unknown, when illness comes, when sickness comes, when job situations are shaky. I know there's fear of the unknown sometimes. But you have something to be excited about. When you walk into a hospital, when you walk into a nursing home, when you walk into a dark workplace, when you walk wherever you walk, you have something to be excited about in your salvation of Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul described your Savior, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God who receives honor and glory, saved you. You. I said it in my Sunday school class this morning. You were created because you were a private thought in the mind of God one day. He thought of you, created you for a purpose, loved you enough to provide for you, to be your friend, and when you turned your back on him in sin, he provided a Savior in Jesus. In all his knowledge, in all his glory, in everything that he is complete in himself, needs nothing. He needs absolutely nothing. He is complete in himself. He chooses and wants you. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. He wants you to the point where he saved you from yourself. He saved you from an eternity of death. In the words of Paul, to the King eternal, to the immortal God, invisible and the only one true God, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Get excited about that. So we have many, I just gave you three big ones that we have reason to be excited this morning and every day that we wake up this week. So what does the Word of God say we should do about our excitement? What does Jesus call us to do with our excitement? Let me tell you, He expects us to do more than sit here on Sunday mornings for an hour and sing some awesome worship songs. And we have some awesome worship here. Adelie has added a lot to our voices. She makes Jonathan and Greg sound great. And I enjoy our worship time. I enjoy coming to the Lord's table together. I enjoy my time with my church family. Jesus says, I want you to do more. Your excitement does not need to be contained in these walls together. So what should we do about our excitement? Remember the story of the paralytic? When Jesus healed the paralytic? What did Jesus tell that man to do? He said, go praise God. What should we do with our excitement? Go praise Him. Luke chapter 5, I want to share that story with you. You've heard it many times. It says, one day Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to thinking to themselves, who is this guy who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up. I love that. I love when God said, immediately. This man didn't go home, was given medicine, and it took a week or two to be healed. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Question I want to ask you this morning. What has God done for you that deserves His praise? When people see your excitement in your praise of God, they are going to be amazed. What has God done for you lately? That's why we make it practice every Sunday morning in Sunday school to point out what has God done for me this week. And we share that together in our class. Because that should be on the forefront of our mind. What has God done for you lately that deserves His praise, that deserves your excitement? This man received a gift from God. He went out of that home praising and worshiping God. He couldn't contain his excitement. And what were the people's reaction? They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. What has the world seen in you lately that has been so remarkable that it puts them in awe? What are the changes that Jesus has made in your life that people watch you and say, wow, I need a little bit of that in my life. I want a little bit of that in my life. I need to be rid of guilt. I need to be rid of shame. I need to be able to move on in my life. And when they hear and see what Jesus has done for you, lives will change. Hearts will be melted before God, and the people will be amazed. Jesus says, I have given you much to be excited about. Go and praise God. Second thing, not only just praising God, literally on purpose, go share your excitement. Go share it. Remember the demon-possessed man that Jesus encountered. In Luke chapter 8, it says that Jesus and the disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. This man could not be contained. The demon that was living and breathing inside of him was so strong, had such a possession on this man, the village would tie him, would bind him with chains. They would store him underground. And this man with the demon would break those chains, cause that man to go out of the tombs and hurt himself and possibly hurt others. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" The demon said, "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from the demons, from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. But the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying this, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You're going to get a lot of reactions by people when Jesus does something powerful in your life. When he does something amazing in your life, you're going to find people that are going to be absolutely amazed and want to find out more and more. You're going to find people, like in this story, that are pure plain going to be scared. They're going to think, "What kind of freak thing's happening here? What kind of freak person are you?" And they're going to freak out, and they're going to be scared and not want to be a part of it. It's going to be very easy at times to just say, "Jesus, I just want to find a solitary place and just be with you and follow you." That's what this man wanted. He was so relieved that Jesus healed him. He just wanted to follow Jesus and go wherever Jesus went. And that's what we want. We just want to go home with Jesus and be with him for eternity. And Jesus says, no. Go and share with your family and friends and your community what I've done for you. Again, I ask the question, what has Jesus done for you that you should go and tell everybody you meet about? Jesus is telling us, tell the world your story. You all have individual stories. You've all come from different places. But you all have the same Jesus, who pulled you out of the pit of sin, who rescued you from an eternity away from the Father. What has Jesus done for you lately? Jesus says, go. Go and tell the world what you're excited about. Go and tell the world what I've done for you. Don't get to the day where you are standing in front of God. And we all are going to do that someday. Don't be at that day and stand in front of God and have to say, I did nothing. I didn't tell anybody what you did for me. I didn't share my salvation with anybody. I kept it to myself. And what did Jesus make very clear when he walked the earth? You deny me in front of the world, I'm going to deny you in front of the Father. Nobody wants that on the day of judgment. Be excited. Be excited about what Jesus has done for you. And just like this demon possessed, you're no different. I'm no different. I was possessed by sin at one point in my life. Jesus rescued me from that. He rescued you from that. Jesus says, go. Until I come back and I bring you home, go tell the world what I've done for you. And again, people will be amazed at your story. The last thing I want to give you this morning to do with your excitement, give God control. Give God control of everything. When you get so excited, you don't know how to contain your excitement. You don't know what to do with your excitement. We've just been told by Jesus, go and tell the world what you're excited about. But man, give God control of everything. Acts chapter 2, we see the early church. God set up the early church through the apostles. This is what the early church did. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. There's that word awe again. At the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Every day. Not just Sunday mornings, not just one day of the week. Every day they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These are a people that God gave control of their very lives. They were invested in the kingdom. They were convinced there was only one who could change their world, and that was Jesus. So they couldn't help but to praise and worship God together daily. What would that look like if the church did that today? If we were meeting together daily? So sad it is in America, we can't get the church together on a second day of the week. Churches are canceling Wednesday night services and get-togethers by the thousands because they can't get anybody to come to church on Wednesday night to praise and worship God together and to study His Word. We're very fortunate if we can get a church family together for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. When the early church saw what Jesus did, had been seen signs and wonders by the apostles, they got excited and they had to meet together every day. Not because they had to, they wanted to. And they had everything. Notice the big words in that scripture. Everything. They had everything in common. Everything is a big word there. And they enjoyed the favor of the Lord. And what happened? God added to their numbers daily. Why? Because they were excited about giving God control of their very lives. It wasn't, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to go to church today. Oh, I have to go serve so-and-so. Oh, I have to go take a meal to that family. Oh, I have to teach Sunday school one more. They were excited about it. They were excited about having fellow believers in their homes, enjoying fellowship with one another. They didn't have to make announcements. Hey, we're all going to go do this. We'd really like it if you could come. And people have to have the local preacher beg you to come to this event because you're all going to have a good time. And if they were asking the apostles what we could do. They were excited about doing things together. We have much to be excited about, folks. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning. Ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit today, what are we going to do with our excitement that will honor and glorify God today? What are we going to do with that? Are we going to contain it? Or man, are we going to go out in the world and share it? I want to invite you this morning to share your excitement with somebody this week. I'm not even asking you to go share it with the world today. That's what Jesus is. Find one person. Find someone this week to share your excitement with. Have somebody to lunch or dinner or to a walk around the park or whatever the case, whatever's best for you. Fishing at the pond, whatever. And boy, just share your excitement. Share what you share here at church. Man, this is what God's done for me. This is what he's done for my family. And I just want you to know about it. Because I want you to get excited like I'm excited. And see what kind of amazement doesn't happen with people around you. When the name of Jesus is spoken, there is power there. Don't ever forget that. When you speak the name of Jesus, things are going to happen. Folks, let's get excited. I want to sing a special song this morning as our invitation. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that this morning. But I want to sing a song. Revive us again. Is that it? Revive us again. Pay attention. Ask Jesus to do this in your heart. As you sing the words we're going to sing, ask for revival in your heart. Ask that God will stir up some excitement in the church. And that it'll become contagious in the world. We got enough garbage out there. We are bombarded by garbage every day. Let's get excited about Jesus. Let's stand. Let's get excited.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Village heart with thy love. May its soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.